Welcome to The Truth About Lending. I'm Melinda Payan, the president and owner of The Truth About Lending. I've been a licensed mortgage broker for over 25 years and bring you clear and straightforward insights on everything from securing your initial home purchase to refinancing your house or obtaining condo financing in Florida's dynamic lending market. Now let's get into The Truth About Lending. No, you're not alone. I'm gonna make this place your home. Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's podcast with The Truth About Lending. Thank you for joining us. Today, we're talking about the housing market, what the heck is going on, what has gone on in the past, and what we see going on in the future. First of all, let me start by saying it is not 2008. I know a lot of people have heard in the news that there's concerns over various things going on with the pricing and the housing market being high. But let me tell you guys something. This has been going on for years. The news and the media love to say this, okay? This is nothing new. In 2015, they said, oh my God, it's a huge housing bubble and you know, the prices are super high. You look at 2016, 2017, there are so many people who came on to the various different news channels, professionals saying, okay, this is the market's going to crash. This is the worst market. It's going to crash. The values are going to go down. Doom and gloom sells often. Okay. So really, I mean, even if you look at 2020, which was a crazy market for real estate, the values are still much higher now than 2020. I mean, if you're out there looking to buy and you haven't really made a decision on what you're wanting to do or not yet, you really kind of wish that you would have bought in 2020. I mean, you'd already have equity, a considerable amount of equity. So the bottom line is that the people who are on the news saying this, and by the way, there aren't a lot of people that are still saying this, but there are sometimes people here or there that either think this or saying this, whatever the case may be, they really don't understand the metrics that's out there, the statistics. So I'm going to break it down for you so we can take a look at this, like, you know, really a piece by piece situation so that you can have a better understanding of why it's pretty critical for you to buy something now before the interest rates go down. So let's talk about the history, where we have been and where we're going and where we're at right now. First of all, when you look at what happened in 2006 through 2008, okay, the height of the bubble and then the market crashing in 2008, there were 3.7 million units for sale on the market, okay? $3.7 million homes, 3.7 million condos, townhouses, whatever it is, the total of everything that was on the market at that time, the statistic from that time period was that there were 3.7 million units for sale, okay? But keep that number in mind. Today, there are 1.4 million units for sale. And that's actually up from a few years ago, is as low as 1.2 million, but we're at 1.4 million units for sale. All right. So in order to have a bubble, you have to have a pretty much offset of inventory. You've got to have more homes than you do buyers. So what has happened in the last 10, 15 years or so is that inventory has continuously gone down. There is a critical shortage of housing in the United States. Now, granted, there are some areas that have more housing than other areas. There are some areas that have a much bigger shortage. It just depends on the market. But if we're talking about Florida, we already know that we have three sides of our state that are limited as to how far we can go, right? We've got the ocean, the Everglades, and then the ocean at the end of the peninsula. So we have a lot less land that we're working with in Florida. And I believe that there may be other states that have a lot more undeveloped land than us, but in general, the Florida market is very strong. Now, let's just go back to those numbers that I just quoted. We're talking about in 2006 to 2000, to, you know, through 2008, there was 3.7 million units on the market. At that time, there were about 160 million households. Okay. Today, we've got somewhere in the neighborhood of around 125 million households, maybe, even if we want to be, you know, really giving, maybe we're up to 130 million households in the United States. But the total units for sale are 1.4 million. So here we are at the height of the crash at in 2006, 2007, with 3.7 million units on the market and 116 million households. Okay. Now we've got 1.4 million units on the market and 130 or somewhere between 125 to 130 million households. Guys, there is a critical shortage of inventory. Anybody who's been out there who's been looking to buy a house will know that. Now, what has happened as a result of the interest rates being so low in 2020 and COVID and everything that happened with the Federal Reserve is that there's a lot of people who are in their house and have a very low interest rate. They have a 2%, they have a 3%, they have a 4% interest rate. And on top of that, depending upon, especially in Florida, they have a tax base that is a lot lower of a tax base, meaning that they're homesteaded and their taxes are locked as to the price that they bought it at. So they have a much lower tax base. Now we're going to talk about that in a little bit because there are some ways to move that tax base. But the bottom line is that we're at a much different time in history. We're at a time in history where we have far less inventory. We have a third of the amount of the inventory that we had, or maybe a little bit more than a third. We have somewhere between a third to a half a percent of the inventory that we had back in 2006. Yet we have 10% more households. So what I'm trying to say is that if somebody's telling you, oh, the market's going to crash, wait for the prices to go down, that person who tells you that is the same person that's been saying that every single year since 2010 and has missed the boat every single year since 2010. Okay. The values are not going down, guys. The prices are not going down, especially not in Florida. Not only do we have fantastic weather that everybody wants, but there's really kind of this political move that's been happening. There's a lot of people coming to our state that are sick and tired with other states, whether that's California, whether that's New York, whatever the case may be. We have no state income tax. We have a much easier process to be able to start businesses. Yes, we have hurricanes, but we don't have earthquakes. So the bottom line is that there's a lot of people that are moving to Florida because it's still inexpensive to them. And to us, maybe that we've been here, if you're somebody that's been living in Florida for a long time and you see a house and you're like, oh my God, that house is $500,000. That same house 3 years ago or 6 or 7 years ago was $200,000 or $300,000, $400,000, whatever the case may be. It is still looking cheap to somebody who is moving to our area from the Northeast or from the West. You know, those guys are looking at houses that are $1 million plus houses that are just starter homes. For them to come here and look at our market, it's a completely different story. They're getting so much more for their money. So guys, if you are looking to buy a house and you've been on a fence and you've thought to yourself, hey, I'm just going to wait. The prices are going to come down. Let me ask you this question. Once they actually start lowering interest rates, which we're going to talk about also here in a second, but once they start actually lowering interest rates, that's going to create more buyers. Okay. Now we know we're already at a shortage of inventory, especially in Florida, more so than other states. We already know that with the current buyers that are in the market, there's not enough homes for sale. Now, what's going to happen when 25% more 10% more, 50% more, whatever the number ends up being, what's going to happen when all these buyers who've been waiting for the rates to come down are like, oh my God, the rates have come down. Now I can get back into the market. It is going to create a feeding frenzy. We're going to see a little bit of that craziness from 2020, 2021, where people were, you know, writing offers sight unseen or waiving inspection periods, which we would never suggest. I mean, just crazy, crazy stuff. We're about to see values go up easily another 10%. So this is a very short window of time where you still have some negotiation power, not a lot, but some. You still have some inventory that's available to you. Again, not a lot, but there is some. This is a very unique time in history because as soon as the Federal Reserve starts lowering interest rates, which they are going to do at some point in the next year, things are going to change. You're going to have a shorter financing contingency period, meaning you're going to have to get your loan closed very, very quick. You're going to be under pressure to do that. You're going to have larger deposits. Prices are going to go up probably a good 10% from where they are now. And you're probably saying to yourself, Melinda, how could they possibly go up another 10%? Guys, it's coming. It is coming. This is a very short window of time. Yes, the interest rates are higher right now than where we'd like them to be. But from the scope of what you're looking at coming, you can always refinance. You can always refinance to a lower interest rate once the rates go down. But your purchase price is permanent. Okay? Your purchase price is permanent. So you should be in a position to look at starting to get this going right now rather than 6 to 9 months from now or whenever they start lowering interest rates. So let's talk a little bit about what the heck is going on with interest rates, why they haven't come down yet, when are they coming down, and what you should expect. I know there's a lot of news on the stations about different things, different economic indicators. You know, there's all kinds of initials that they throw out there, CPI, PPI, you know, GDP. The bottom line is that all of these indicators are showing a trend that there is still some inflationary activity happening. In other words, what the Federal Reserve is looking for is less jobs created, less demand for goods and services. And what they're seeing is that the demand is still pretty high. They haven't seen any news to indicate otherwise. Now, a lot of people may say, isn't that a coincidence? It's an election year and there's all this great news. Well, that could possibly have some merit to it, but the truth of the matter is that that's the news that's coming out, regardless of the source of it, what you think about it, and whether you think it's correct or not. This is the news that's coming out. So the Federal Reserve does not have any motivation to start lowering interest rates yet. So regardless of what you think of the news, this is the news that's coming out. So the Federal Reserve does not have any motivation to start lowering interest rates. So initially, they were expecting numbers to be a little bit less favorable. They were expecting less job creation, maybe a little bit more unemployment, maybe a little bit less demand for products and services. So having said that, they were anticipating maybe having some interest rate cuts earlier in the year. And now those cuts have been moved back further. So what happens is that instead of the experts forecasting, you know, 5 cuts for the year or whatever they initially forecasted, some of them were as much as 7. Now, some of the experts are forecasting no cuts or maybe 1 cut or 2 cuts, and then the cuts actually happening in 2025. So interest rates right now, as of this moment, you know, here we are in April of 2024, are actually the highest they have been since November of last year, because the economists have, you know, continued to kind of get things wrong. In other words, the anticipation that the market was going to lower the interest rates, or that the Fed was going to lower interest rates, really was a little bit premature. Based on all of the economic news, they have no motivation to do that. Now, it's really kind of inevitable that at some point they're going to do that. So this is why I say that you're in a situation now where you have a limited period of time. You know, 2008 was a much different time period than where we're at right now. Not only did we have a much higher amount of homes on the market, we also had a lot of other things that contributed to the crash. Well, first of all, back in 2008, when all these really bad things were happening, there really wasn't any type of homeowner assistance programs. And what do I mean by that? Look, if you're having a financial hardship right now, you've got a loan modification you can apply for. You've got a forbearance you can apply for. You've got a workout agreement that you could do with them. There's tons of state and city programs that have foreclosure prevention or assistance programs. There are a lot of options for homeowners who are in distress to try to stay in the house. And a lot of that came from what happened in 2008. And, you know, if we want to look at a silver lining from what happened during that time period, that's one of them. You know, there's a lot of people that didn't get any help back then that should have gotten help. There's a lot of people that lost their house back then just waiting for a loan modification to be processed. And I can tell you, you know, I back then, one of the jobs that I did on a consulting basis is that I was a underwriter for a loan modification department for Bank of America. And, you know, I did it on a temporary basis to try to assist in the overflow of what was happening. And it was crazy. I mean, there were so many different ways that people could send in documents that by the time you actually got the documents were out of date. So, for example, if somebody applied for a loan modification, I know everybody out there can relate to what I'm saying because they've heard these stories. By the time the loan modification underwriter actually got your paperwork, that pay stub or that bank statement has expired, and then you went back in this never-ending circle. So that doesn't happen now. There's rules and guidelines and programs available to help homeowners who are in distress. And that's a really big part of why foreclosures are at an all-time low. Okay. Now, let's also talk about one other thing in reference to why foreclosures are all at an all-time low. The mortgages that people are getting now are not the same mortgages that people got back then. Back then, if you had a pulse and a social security number and a half decent credit score, you might be able to get a loan with no money down and not have to prove that you have the ability to repay the mortgage. Now, these days, the ability to repay, it's called ATR, ability to repay, is part of something called Dodd-Frank. And that was the housing initiative to basically completely redo mortgages and housing in the United States. Okay. That means in order to get a conventional loan, an FHA loan, a VA loan, regular normal loan, you have to prove that you have the ability to repay that mortgage by proving that your income is a certain amount, documenting your assets. There's guidelines that are stricter now, okay? Not only that, but the banks, who really were pretty critical, I think, in writing the Dodd-Frank guidelines, have it written into Dodd-Frank something called the QM rule, which is the qualified mortgage rule. That basically says as long as a loan meets the QM, the qualified mortgage rule, that we've been able to document the income, assets, credit score, and all that stuff, then the banks cannot be sued. The bank cannot be sued for predatory lending. Okay. I don't know if you guys remember back during the crash, there was all kinds of lawsuits. Oh, Countrywide Mortgage gave me this option arm loan and it's negative amortization and I didn't realize what I was signing and all these other things. And so there was a lot of predatory lawsuits against the banks. Now the banks are protected by something called the QM rule, the Qualified Mortgage Rule. Now, that's why the guidelines are pretty strict. Now, yes, there are a lot of alternative loan products out there. There are no income verification loans out there or bank statement loans out there or investor cash flow loans out there. These are portfolio loans. But what is different with those loans now than in 2008? Well, in 2008, those loans were no money down, or maybe you didn't have to have a high of a credit score. Now, these loans are 20%, 30% down, 35% down. You have to have a credit score of 720 or better in some cases, or you have to show, if it's a lower credit score, that you have 12 months or 24 months reserves of the mortgage payment in the bank, that if the crap hits the fan, that you have savings, you have a way to figure out how to get yourself out of this situation. This is not 2008. This is 2024. And for those who are watching this video, this is a time in the world, especially in the United States, and even more so in Florida, where you have a limited period of time where you're still going to be able to negotiate a deal. Don't let whatever news channel or whatever expert that you think is selling doom and gloom tell you that we're on the verge of a housing bubble. Because that expert that's telling you that, I bet you he owns his house. I bet you he owns investment properties too. And I bet you he's not selling them. And I bet you if you looked him up and saw what he owned, you know, if he really thinks there's a housing bubble, why isn't he selling his properties? You know, doom and gloom sells, guys, but reality is something different than doom and gloom. If somebody got on the news and said, hey, everything's great, go out and buy houses, nothing really I can tell you, what do you think they're going to get for ratings? They're going to get crappy ratings. But the truth of the matter is that we've got this really limited period of time before rates go down. Rates are going to come down. They have to come down. Okay. At that point, once they start coming down, it's going to be a different market. You're going to be paying 10% more for a property than what you would be paying right now. And the reason why this is an important topic for me to discuss with you is that, hey, we've been there. We went through the crash personally in 2008. You know, I owned a different mortgage company. My husband owned a construction company. If there were the worst markets that you could possibly be in at that time, those were the two markets. You know, I went through all of this personally with everybody else. We lost homes during that time period. We went through a bankruptcy at that time period. We went through all the financial strife that everybody else at that time in Florida was going through. The only difference was that we had a kid that was really sick at that time. Our son, our third child, was going through testing for, they thought he had leukemia at that point, or that he might have leukemia at that point. And we were going through bone marrow biopsies and spending a lot of time in pediatric oncologist office. And, you know, I'll tell you what, when your kid's the only kid that doesn't have a port or isn't getting chemotherapy, the market crashing and you losing your house or having to fit a family of six in a much smaller property doesn't really mean as much, you know? So I just want everybody to understand that what you're looking to do now is to buy a home, not just a house. You're looking for, you know, if you're an investor and you're looking for properties, great. But if you're a first-time home buyer and you're looking to buy a home, a place to raise your kids, a place to bring mom to live with you, a place where your kids can walk to school, a place where you and your husband are just starting out, or whatever the case may be, whatever the reason is that you want to be in a home, this is the time to do it. Don't listen to the news of somebody else saying otherwise. And I don't think that there's a lot of people saying this, but I'm telling you right now, don't wait for the interest rates to go down. Guys, this is our podcast for the week. We just wanted to get on here and tell you that now is the time. Now is the time. If you have any questions on how to get started, please give us a call or visit us online. Our phone number is 888-76-TRUTH. That's 888-76-TRUTH. or you can visit us online at thetruthaboutlending.com. That was thetruthaboutlending.com. And as always, please subscribe to our YouTube channel for all of our updates and listen to our podcast. Thanks. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you for listening to The Truth About Lending. Stay up to date with all Florida loan and mortgage news by subscribing to our channel and help us grow so we can continue bringing you insight and advice. Please like, share, and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. You can find the links to all our social media profiles in the description. You can find extra resources on our website, thetruthaboutlending.com. If you have any questions about Florida mortgages, we are licensed and ready to talk to you today. Call us at 888-76-TRUTH. That's 888-768-7884. You can also email us at melinda@ttal.info or visit us at our website, thetruthaboutlending.com. Until next time, remember, the truth about lending is out there for you.
Know you're not alone, 'cause I'm gonna make this place yours.